Accession number 21012, real one.
Herbert Weber, real one. Where were you born, please?
At Angmering, Sussex.
Which year was this?
In 1918.
Did you grow up and have your schooling at Angmering?
No, I had my, we moved soon after I was born, and I went to school at, we moved to Storrington, and I started school at Storrington, and then my father's health went, we were farming, in the farming trade, and he went blind, so we had to give up the farm after about 8 years. And we moved then to Durrington, which is in the environs of Worthing.
How old were you?
And then I continued my schooling, and then, of course, we had, at the age of 11, we changed schools to a senior school, and I came into Worthing School then.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
16.
So that would have been in 34. Did you get a job?
I had a difficulty in getting jobs because there was a lot of unemployment then. And I wanted to become a solicitor or a printer, but was nothing doing. And in the end, my mother was a widow. We weren't very well off. So I saw a job advertised in the grocery trade, and I went to work in a little grocer store.
Is that what you were doing when war broke out?
I was.
Had you joined TA before the war?
No.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did, yes, on the Sunday. I was home then, but I was called up on the 15th of September.
How did you feel when you heard war had been declared?
Well, I was called up officially within 2 months of the National Service Act of 1939, and I had my papers to report to the Royal Sussex Regiment in Ireland in July, and of course there was chaos, so they're calling up all these people and they know where to put them. The 2nd Battalion of the Royal Sussex was serving in Ireland, and they were recalled, and I was deferred, my call-up was deferred until September the 15th, 1939. I was 21. The call-up dates, age of call-up was you had to be 20, between 20 and 21. My birthday was, I was 21 on the 11th of September, and I was subsequently reported to Chichester Barracks on the 15th. In answer to your question of how I felt about the war, it seemed as inevitable that it would come during the summer of 1939. And we had 16 weeks training at the Chichester Barracks, which is the headquarters of the Royal Sussex Regiment.
What was your training like?
Training was very intensive. I mean, I had a rude awakening as a rather remote young citizen to be called up in that way. I mean, I led a very sheltered life living with my mother, and I was put amongst all these chaps. And I had to think about it. And in the end, I knew, you see, there were about 30 of us in one platoon, a very mixed lot. And I felt, well, there's plenty of people here, I must choose my friends. And which I did. And I have no regret at the comradeship that I felt throughout the war.
How did the how did the people in charge of the training treat the recruits?
By and large, well.
Were you able to cope with what they expected you to do?
Just about. I know I had one. The sergeant was very good, platoon sergeant, but the some of the junior ranks, the corporals, were very unpleasant to deal with.
In what sense?
Well, like, if you couldn't do a thing properly, they lacked patience with you.
What happened to you next?
Well, we had training in small arms, the Bren gun, mortars, and then after 8 weeks, we had a sort of a test, and some people were drafted to specialized platoons, signals, carrier platoon, mortar platoon, and just PBI. And I'm afraid that's what I was. I wasn't a good soldier.
Which platoon and company did you go to? Can you remember?
Well, I can remember when I got to the battalion, I was in number 13 platoon. And it was the 4th, 5th Battalion of the Royal Sussex Regiment. It was a Cinque-Ports battalion.
What kind of an atmosphere was there in the battalion when you got there?
Well, it was January 1940. A very, very cold winter, 1940. And we were in billets in a tiny village called Evershot in Dorset. Of course, we were really making up the numbers of that company, ready to go over to France. And intensive training in very inclement weather on Backham Downs. I'll have to look at the map to find that. And well, your answer to your question, well, it was quite a happy atmosphere. They were all a little bit out of place because they were territorials or else reservists. And you would say they'd had experience of the army, whereas a certain number of us came up from Sussex to join this unit. And I was in C Company, under Major Odlingsby, if you want to know any more.
Any incidents that happened to you in Dorset?
No, not really.
Did you go to France?
I went to France at the end of April. What? We had Easter in Dorset. We took a boat to Cherbourg. No incidents across the channel. Because the war hadn't really started then anyhow, had it? We were billeted in the brand new ocean terminal at Cherbourg for a while, and then we were transferred, went down to the heart of Normandy near Le Mans, and then of course we're doing training exercises more or less all the time to keep us up to scratch. After that we did a long train journey to I suppose it's eastern France, around Lille, and we were designated to guard a petrol dump.
This is the whole battalion?
Yes, as far as I know. I can't remember, really. Or it might just have been our company.
Did you have any contact with local civilians there?
No, not really. En route, we contacted a certain number of French farmers because we were billeted in their barns. We were up in the hayloft and the cattle were down here because the French farm differently to us. They have all this intensive farming. They don't let their animals out, not even in the war they didn't. And of course, I didn't think much of their system at all, but then that's another matter.
Why didn't you think much of it?
Well, they weren't such efficient farmers as ours, and of course our agriculture soon got into high efficiency, and the layout of the farms was very poor too. You had the farmhouse one side, you had the animals next door to it, and you had other buildings in a sort of square rectangle. And the thing that did me was that all the waste from the animals was stacked up in the middle of the yard. Now, that's a detail for when you're on service. You have to put up with all these things, don't you?
Anyhow, so what happened to you next at Lille?
Well, Lille, petrol dump. We were there until, I wanted to confirm this date with you. Was it the 8th of May, then the Germans broke through?
10th of May, the attack.
So they went round the 10th of May, when they went through the, round the wrong way of the Maginot Line, and they called us out. And I don't know what happened to the petrol dump, but we had to march across Belgium in the endeavour to stem the Germans' advance. But you know, those people were so efficient and they had aircraft cover for their tanks. I mean, we weren't a match, never were a match for them. I mean, I suppose all our strength and hope was in the actual Maginot Line and the men we had there. But anyway, this advance was never really stemmed, you know. They had 88mm guns for artillery and some very powerful tanks, and they had the Stuka dive bomber. Anyway, this went on. We were endeavouring to stop the Germans, but things were in a terrific state, really. We didn't know where we were.
What happened to you at first when you moved into Belgium?
Well, when we were on the retreat, we moved into Belgium, and the Germans were advancing so fast that we had to get out of it, really. And of course, in the end, we ended up south of Dunkirk, back into France.
Did you at any stage engage German ground troops?
In the distance. I was never really very near to them, and I didn't want to be. I'm not, as I say, I'm not a hero.
But you used your rifle?
Oh, I used a rifle, yes.
Against what kind of targets?
Well, from time to time, it would be aircraft, which, well, of course, it was very ineffective. But I never really encountered any Germans to shoot. I suppose we got away too quick, I don't know.
What was it like on the retreat through Belgium?
Chaos. And, of course, another thing that added to our difficulties, all the Belgians and French started evacuating their farms. And, of course, you've got these refugees. They didn't know where they were going, but they were afraid for their own safety in their homes. And, of course, that hindered our whatever we were trying to do.
Was your battalion taking many casualties?
Well, when you come to the evacuation at Dunkirk, we were reduced to, I suppose, about 25% of our numbers. Anyhow, I haven't quite finished, because I did have an incident on the 26th of May. That was when the battle was coming to its climax, and we'd set up position overnight. And the Germans must have been very accurate with their observation, because no sooner we set up our defences, I was in a slit trench with my platoon commander and my section commander, and I had an anti-tank rifle. You know, have you heard about these? The infantry use, they're very cumbersome things, particularly when you had to carry them around. Anyway, it wasn't within half an hour that the shelling started from these 88 millimeter guns. I don't know whether they were mounted on tanks or whether they were just artillery, but we weren't very far off them. And that their observation must have seen us take up that position, and they started shelling us. And one shell hit a tree behind our slit trench, and that tree came crashing down on the three of us, as I remember. And there was a lot of shrapnel flying around, which killed my platoon commander, and my section commander had both his legs blown off, and I was very shocked and had shrapnel in the arm and back. So
the next thing
we had to have some be rescued. Had to have treatment. We were put on a Bren gun carrier and sent back to the nearest aid post.
What kind of injuries did you have personally?
Myself, all I had was shrapnel in the arm and back, which was subsequently removed when I got back to hospital in the UK.
Do you know whereabouts this was?
Not the hospital.
No, where you got wounded.
Well, it was south of, all I can say, it was south of Dunkirk. Not very far south. But we were sent back to dressing station after dressing station, and they were all in the act of evacuation. So they wouldn't take us in. But they transferred us to an ambulance as part of the evacuation at one place, and we had terrible time with the Stukas. I didn't think we were going to come through.
Do you remember the names of the two officers?
Yes, the one that died was Captain Slow, S-L-O-E, as far as I can remember. And the other one was Corporal Loxton. And he was an ex-SLI man, Somerset Light Infantry. He was one of the reservists called in to back up the unit ready for action.
Were you in much pain?
I was more shocked than pain. See, imagine within about 8 months of being a sheltered civilian, having to go through all that, and amongst some, to what would have been me, rather unsavoury people. You know, you had to take a lot in your stride. As I say, I wasn't a heroic soldier at all.
In what way were they unsavoury?
Well, I used to swear. I wasn't used to that language. And, I mean, I was always... I wasn't married at the time, but a lot of them were married. And then they got hold of other people's wives, and you know what went on in the war. And I didn't, you know, I couldn't sort of condone to it. I mean, and yet I was a single young man. But I did make, as I say, I did make some good friends. You had to sort them out. Shall I continue?
Please.
I think we were travelling by ambulance the greater part of the morning, arriving in Dunkirk town, which was ablaze. If you want to see a Holocaust, that was it. And there were dead bodies lying all around the streets as a result of the shelling, bombing. Anyway, as miracle had it, this ambulance took us down to the docks, and there was a hospital ship in the docks. It must have been about the last one to get out. And I was put onto it. Much to my relief,
what were conditions like in the hospital ship?
Oh, quite good. And it wasn't overcrowded, really, as I remember. There was a bit of panic, of course, but you see, we're still being dive bombed all the time. We were getting on this boat, waiting in this boat to pull off, and it wasn't until we were about halfway across the channel that we felt a little bit relieved from all the bombing.
Was the hospital ship against the jetty?
Yeah. That's the fortunate part for me. And I stood by my colleague, the corporal, and right through till we got to the hospital at Lichfield, where we were relieved to get there.
What treatment did you get at Lichfield?
Very good treatment. Nothing the matter with the treatment. In fact, people were very conscientious at that part of the war.
Did you have any operations?
Well, only to remove shrapnel in the back. And I think I've still got a bit of it about me now. I tried to get an army pension for it, but I've been unsuccessful. because I'm not sufficiently disabled, you see.
And then?
And then, in hospital, not very long, about 10 days, if I remember, and I was given 3 weeks sick leave. And of course, that was a table in the wilderness, too, coming down from Lichfield to stay with my mother. And also, I went down to see an aunt of mine in Essex. And that's when, if I remember, all the bombing started in London, and I could see a lot of the ruins. But I always remember the ruins, particularly around St. Paul's. And there was St. Paul's standing high and dry with all these ruins from the bombing around. That's why I had to cross London to get to Essex, you see, to see my aunt. Because I haven't got many relations. And then after the 3 weeks sick leave, in the interim I had a note to report to my battalion, which was being reformed after the Battle of Dunkirk at Gloucester. I get to Gloucester. You're on another part now. And most of the battalion had been moved north. But I was with the rear guard of the party. And
whereabouts in the north was this?
Well, I went up with the rear guard party and we went into Yorkshire. We stayed at a place called Nottingley, only briefly. Nottingley, I think, is a cotton town. Either wool or cotton, anyway. Our destination really was a mining village at Thorn Colliery. The name of the village was Moor Ends, and we were on the edge of the mine, really. We had a wonderful welcome with the Yorkshire people. Cups of tea, plenty of food. We were billeted in one of their music hall places. Up there they have, or did have in those days, a music hall attached to the pub, because they were great people for the clubs and pubs. And we were billeted in there for a while, and then subsequently in a school. We stayed in Yorkshire until November. This would be from August till November.
What kind of duties did you have there?
Well, we were, of course, we hadn't got any armaments. I think we had pickaxe handles to start with, because we hadn't got enough rifles to go around. And of course, we'd learnt our lesson with mobile warfare, hadn't we? It was no longer static between the Siegfried Line and Maginot Line and deep trenches as they were. You see, we started the war on the basis of the finish of the last war, 1918. And we realised how hopeless everything was. Anyhow, the thing that reminded me, we were trained as lorried infantry. And the lorries, they hadn't got any lorries, so they hired motor coaches. And we did training exercise around Yorkshire. And of course, we were very apprehensive in the September 1940 because an invasion was imminent. And one night, I think the Germans, we never really heard the truth about this, have we? But I'm sure the Germans started off with an invasion on the northern coast of France somewhere, and we had to go down to the coast, take up hurried positions and endeavour to deter the enemy, but much to our relief, nothing happened, and we soldiered on at Morens until, I think, about middle of November. We came by train down to Bexhill.
Whereabouts